This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, filling in for Terry Gross. Casey Affleck has appeared in 22 films over the past dozen years, but he's often been referred to as the other Affleck, a reference to his older brother Ben Affleck. But that may be changing now, thanks in part to Casey Affleck's starring roles in two recent films, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford and Gone Baby Gone. Both performances have won critical praise. Among Casey Affleck's other films are To Die For, Good Will Hunting, Jerry, and Ocean's 11, 12, and 13. Gone Baby Gone is the directorial debut of Ben Affleck. It's based on a novel by Dennis Lehane, who also wrote Mystic River. Casey Affleck plays a small-time detective who's asked to help find the abducted child of a drug-using mother, played here by Amy Ryan.
I just want my daughter back. I swear to God, I won't use no drugs no more. I won't even go out if you straight across my heart.
It's all right, we're gonna find her, Ellie.
You have to. You promise?
Yeah. I'm gonna try. I will.
Promise. You have to promise me.
I promise.
Gone Baby Gone is set in Boston, where Casey and Ben Affleck grew up. Well, Casey Affleck, welcome to Fresh Air. When you had to craft this character, this private eye from this working class neighborhood of Dorchester, were there people that you knew that you grew up with that you sort of drew on to craft this character?
Well, in different ways. Yes. No, there was not one single person, but I knew the accent. I knew the way that people dressed and kind of what music they listened to, what kind of jobs they had, what their attitudes were towards everything from police to themselves to their children to I knew what kind of slang that they used. You know, it's just as an actor, it just means that you don't have to go spend, 4 months listening to a dialect coach and trying to get the accent right and sort of wandering, you know, getting to know people there just to figure out, like, when they wear their sweats and when they put on their, like, ironed, jeans. So those kind of things, which might not even register to kind of most people, as authentic or interesting or not authentic, you know, that people don't even really pay attention to, they did mean a lot to me. Just because I knew them, you know, I sort of knew, and I've always been really interested in those kinds of things. I guess that's probably what I like about acting, is kind of thinking about the smallest things.
Boston is a character in the, you know, Dennis Lehane's novels, and it's clearly a character in this film, and I think really evocatively drawn out by, you know, by your brother as the director. Were there moments in the dialogue and scenes that you kind of felt like, yeah, this is really what I know. This is so familiar to me.
Well, I mean, just about all of it, except for the police work. You know, anytime we were shooting kind of in the neighborhood where the character lived, and with people, you know, there's a scene in a bar, and we go in there to talk to, we're looking for this missing girl, and this is a place where the mother hung out. And so we go in there to talk to people and find out, you know, see if we can get some information. And it's the middle of the day, and there's about 6 or 7 guys, you know, alcoholics, you know, kind of sitting there in the middle of the day, you know, and it's the kind of place where my father worked when I was a kid as a bartender. It's the kind of place where I actually spent some time as a kid, and so all of those kinds of locations and were definitely, to me, felt very authentic. They kind of rang true. They felt very familiar. It was a little bit strange. Some of them would be, you know, I'd be there and there'd be these kind of like waves of nostalgia or kind of, repulsions for some reason. And I would think, you know, I just want to get out of there, or I would just want to sit there forever. And
you ever forget your acting?
Well, you try to do that every single time. But yeah, it helped. The way that Ben kind of set up some of these scenes definitely helped, because, you know, we went into that bar, for example, and when Ben was scouting the location, he went there in the middle of the day, and there were 6 or 7 guys sitting around the bar, and he said, okay, all of you, I want you to just be here, you know, and next week on Monday, and you're going to be in the movie. They kind of all shrugged their shoulders, and we showed up next week, and there they were, you know, still sitting there in their stools, and probably hadn't left, and so they ended up in the movie.
Did they have speaking roles, or were they just extras?
Some of them had speaking roles.
Wow. You know, you know the director of this film very well. It's your brother, Ben Affleck. And he happened to be on Fresh Air right after you finished shooting this. And we asked him about what it was like directing you, his brother. And I thought we'd maybe just listen to what he told Terry Gross about directing you in the film.
It was really interesting. You know, it was kind of... it's hard because you have to put on a different hat. You know what I mean? You can't have this conversation with your brother the way you'd have it with your brother if he's an actor in your movie. You have to treat him as you would treat an actor in the movie, which sometimes means, I mean, something as simple as trying to swallow the urge to strangle him. You know, or to be really curt with, like, just because I said to do it that way, that's why, you know, instead of going like, well, okay, that's interesting. I hear you. Let's process what you're talking about. So it was an exercise in self-discipline. But, you know, my brother, the thing that's really rewarding is that he's a really, really good actor, and he's typically been seen in, you know, kind of character roles as well. So I think, you know, I have the good fortune of being able to show an audience something kind of new and surprising that's also really good. And that's a rarity.
And that's Ben Affleck speaking with Terry Gross, talking about directing our guest, his brother, Casey Affleck. Well, Casey, now we have to turn to you. What was it like from your end?
Well, let me just tell you, first of all, he rarely swallowed the urge to strangle him. If he felt that urge, he usually went for it. And what's more is I don't think I ever heard him say, I hear you, and let me process that. It's funny characterization of how he worked, but he was, I sort of feel sort of the opposite. I don't feel like he ever had to put on a different hat. I kind of felt like, you know, a great advantage that we had was that we were kind of brothers who had this relationship for 32 years, that we kind of had every possible kind of conversation one could have. You know, I mean, I've asked for him for advice. He's come to me for advice. We've fought. We've helped each other, lied to each other, kept secrets, told the truth. And, you know, we've kind of been through it all. So there was no ground where we that was unfamiliar or where we felt like I ever felt uncomfortable. Nothing felt new. I think it was just that our ability to communicate kind of frankly and with each other, and also to kind of have the shorthand where we could, if nothing else, save time. And just, you know, I knew what he was saying before he kind of got through the first sentence, and I often felt like he understood me that quickly. That was great, you know, because often there's not a lot of time on a movie. So, you know, I think that us being brothers was only ever an advantage. No feelings were hurt. No one's, you know, I never had to worry about his ego. He never had to worry about mine. And that's not always the case in a kind of actor-director relationship. So, and what's more is that, you know, on top of it all, he had a fabulous way of talking to actors, I think just because he's been an actor. So...
Now, that's interesting because, I mean, directors all have their different styles. What is his? I mean, you've worked with a lot of different directors.
I think his is kind of no fuss, you know. I think it's, I mean, it's funny to hear him say that to Terry, you know, that he had to sort of put on a different hat. It just seemed to me that his style was to be sort of, you know, just kind of who he is, to not sort of pretend to put, you know, you know, he never got the megaphone and put on the boots and the scally cap and never did, like, the old director thing. Listen, pal, and I guess say all your lines and go for it. You know, it was, he just said, you know, I think it's like this. I think you should try it like that. Or he just, it seemed to me like it was Ben that I'd sat on a couch next to 100,000 times, watched a movie with, and talked to him about it. And, you know, he would say, like, God, I wish they'd done it like that, or they wish they'd done it like this. And I had sort of... you know, given my opinion, that's how it always felt to me. And it was very comforting to have that relationship with him, have him on the set, and to know that he wasn't pretending to be anything other than what he was, because it made me feel like, oh, here's my brother, and I know that he's looking out for me, and I'm looking out for him. You know, it was always just the two of us, really. We lived with just my mom, mostly, and she would work, you know, until 6 o'clock, 7 to 6, and... we spent a lot of time, just the two of us, growing up. So we're pretty close.
Well, you know, this was a big move for him. I mean, he's done a lot of acting. And, you know, some would say some films not maybe done as well in recent years as some of his earlier ones. And now here he is directing. And he casts his brother in a lead role in a part that, you know, in the book was really for an older person. And some might, if this hadn't worked, I wonder if he and you might have taken some criticism. Did it feel like this was sort of a risky thing, a high-stakes thing, like he really had to nail this?
Oh, God, Dave, I don't know. It's always, if you start thinking about the risks and the potential criticisms, you'll never do anything. I mean, it's just, and I think for Ben, absolutely, he felt that way. How could he not? You know, it's his first movie out, and it's his first movie he's directed, and it's also, he's already kind of famous. There are a lot of people that take very, you know, cheap shots, against him, you know, in the press, and just because they're kind of bored and petty, and they think that's a good way to make a living. So, there's so many of them that I'm sure he kind of, if he wanted to, he could have, you know, he could have focused on that, and it would have been terrifying. For me, I don't care, or I've trained myself to not think about it.
Our guest is Casey Affleck. He's starring in the new film Gone Baby Gone. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're speaking with Casey Affleck. He is starring in the new film Gone Baby Gone. Well, Casey Affleck, you have another film out that's getting a lot of great reviews, and that's The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, the assassin being yourself. And this is just a fascinating story where you play this man who was, an obsessed fan of Jesse James, who eventually becomes close to him, and then does him in. It's a fascinating story based on a historical novel. How did you prepare for this role?
Well, there was a book by Ron Hansen that I read that was beautiful, a really great kind of character study, I thought, and of Robert Ford mostly, and of Jesse James, and then I read the screenplay by Andrew Dominik that was just stunningly beautiful and kind of ornate and strange in its architecture and, you know, just dialogue that just kind of like leapt from the page. And so those two things were kind of my blueprint, because there was nothing available about Robert Ford. There's obviously a lot available about Jesse James, but Robert Ford, there's very little online, very little you can find about him anywhere. So I had to kind of go to the book and go to the script, and more than anything, sort of rely on Andrew Dominik, who it seems had been preparing this movie his entire life. The amount of information that he had about all the characters, about every line of dialogue, every stitch of clothing had been the movie. I've never seen a movie so thoroughly prepared. It was he'd done a staggering amount of work, and I think he made a beautiful movie. So I relied on him. I don't know how he knows so much about acting. It's kind of, he has no business knowing so much about how actors work and what makes a good choice for an actor, having only done one movie. But he, I think he's sort of a genius in that way, and he would kind of steer me. He was a kind of guiding light, and so those are the things that I relied on. There wasn't too much research that I could do other than learning to shoot a gun, ride a horse, and to be really knowledgeable about the period, you know, like reading newspapers every day, you know, every morning, read a newspaper from that morning in the 1880s, and just to kind of immerse myself in the period, and that did help.
You know, there's one review of your performance in this that said your metamorphosis from doormat to predator is a devastating feat of self-transformation. I mean, it is a fascinating character you play, a guy who is a hero worshiper, wants to be close to Jesse James, gets there, and then eventually betrays him. And it's an interesting, I think, question whether Ford becomes someone different or whether the assassin and the hero worshiper are really all part of the same package. Tell us a little bit about this character, how you saw him. What made him want to do in this guy he admired so much?
Well, it might sound strange, but I loved Robert Ford. I read the book and I loved him, and I read the screenplay and I loved him, and I loved playing him. There were times when I felt I hated him and things that he did that were really hard to do, but that's kind of like life. I find that's true with myself. I do and say things every day that I think, why did I do that? Why did I say that? You're an idiot. So, you know, I really felt for him. I don't think that he was an obsessed fan. I don't think that he was a kind of celebrity, obsessed predator. I don't think that he was any of those things. I think he was a 19-year-old kid, grew up on a farm, reading comic books about Jesse James, who was the youngest of in a big family, and people, no one ever thought that he would sort of amount to anything. And he kind of felt like he had an enormous amount of potential, that he was capable of doing something great, that he was, and specifically, you know, he thought that he could be just like Jesse James. And when he read these comic books, which he thought were real stories, obviously they weren't, he thought, well, if I can get close to Jesse James, you know, he's great, and he's smarter than everyone in my family and all these people around me who tell me I'm nothing. He will recognize in me my potential. He will make me his partner, and then there'll be comic books written about both of us. He was just had this immature fantasy. That's all it was.
Let's listen to a cut from this. This is from the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford, and our guest Casey Affleck. You're sitting around with Jesse James and some of the gang at dinner, and the conversation comes up about your character Robert Ford's worship of Jesse James, and you're provoked to talking about it. Let's listen.
Well, if you'll pardon my saying so, I guess it is interesting the many ways you and I overlap and whatnot. I mean, if you begin with our daddies, your daddy was a pastor of the New Hope Baptist Church, and my daddy was a pastor of the church in Excelsior Springs. You're the youngest of three James boys, and I'm the youngest of five Ford boys. Between Charlie and me is another brother, Wilbur here, with six letters in his name. And between Frank and you is another brother, Robert, also with six letters. And my Christian name is Robert, of course. You have blue eyes, I have blue eyes. You're 5 feet 8 inches tall, I'm 5 feet 8 inches tall.
Hey, something.
And that was Brad Pitt laughing at the end, playing Jesse James. Our guest, Casey Affleck, was the Bob Ford, a member of his gang at the time. What led Robert Ford to assassinate Jesse James? I mean, if he seemed to worship and seemed to know so much about him.
Well, that scene that you just played is a bit of a pivotal moment in the movie. It's funny to hear it. I've seen the movie twice. I've never just listened to it, and it seems like a different scene to me. I just hear different things. It's such a halting delivery of that speech, and kind of weird. I mean, I'm smiling in that scene a little bit, kind of smirking and shy, and seemed like a little girl in love or something. And just listening to it just sounds bizarre. But, you know, I think what happens, what follows that scene is they make fun of him. He sort of confesses that he has, you know, thinks that he's just like Jesse James. And and he's embarrassed, and he gets his feelings hurt. And the next day, he goes to the police. You know, it's just a kind of young, rash, impetuous, silly decision, because he's got such hurt feelings that he just lashes out by getting on his horse and going to town and telling the police that he knows where Jesse is and he could turn him in. Now, that decision is something he just can't undo. Now now the police know who he is, and they kind of trap him. They don't leave him alone, and they say, basically, if you don't capture or kill Jesse James, you're going to jail. And they just keep pressuring him, and he has to do this thing he never wanted to do. He didn't want to kill Jesse James. It's not Mark David Chapman. He's not crazy. He's not. He didn't want to think he was replacing him. He just put himself in a spot he couldn't get out of. Of course, what happens is that after he does kill him, he gets sort of the thing that he always wanted. He gets, the whole country sees him. He's more recognizable than the president of the United States of America. It's a really, really big deal in the country.
Our guest is Casey Affleck. He's starring in the new film Gone, Baby, Gone. He also stars in The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Casey Affleck. His new film is Gone, Baby, Gone. Well, a lot of folks know that you and your brother Ben and Matt Damon all grew up in the same neighborhood in Cambridge, Massachusetts. What got you interested in acting originally?
My mother's best friend in college became a local casting director in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Our families are pretty close. She used to bring Ben and me in, and with her children, and to be extras in movies when we were in school, you know, just little kids, 10 years old. And I didn't really care much about the movies. I just thought, like, well, this is a day off from school. I can graze over, you know, the craft service table for 8 hours. There's more candy than I'd ever gotten to eat. And, you know, you walk away with $15, and, you know, which my mom let me keep. So it was a fortune, and it was a lot of fun. So and then she would bring us in for, like, local, you know, commercials, like the weather commercial and the local news station, that kind of thing. And I kind of thought, like, wow, I'm incredible. I'm getting every part I auditioned for. It turns out that it was, I think she was only bringing me in. I was the only person auditioning. I was the only kid who had a mom that would let them, like, take 2 days off from school and go stand under a rain machine to do an ad for the weather guy. And so, but that gave me some confidence.
You were good, yeah.
And then I mostly, you know, the truth is it wasn't until high school that there was a guy named Jerry Specka, who was one of those teachers you kind of just hope your kid gets once in his 12 years of education. And Ben and Matt and I, and a bunch of other working, professional, talented actors, even a guy that's in Gone Baby Gone, he plays the child molester, Corman Earle. He was, he had all of us as students, and he sort of inspired us all. I was playing baseball and, you know, throwing rocks around the street. I didn't have any, I didn't want to be an actor. And it wasn't until, you know, one summer I went and did the summer musical, mostly because it was like 19 girls and it was me and that's it. And you kind of got to spend the summer that way. And that seemed a lot better than like sitting on the bench and the baseball summer league, because I was smaller than everyone by that time. So I said, well, I'm going to go do this. Turns out I was tone deaf. They cut all my my solos, but it was a lot of fun. And then the next year I signed up for the drama class and I found that guy, Jerry Specka, and I've never really wanted to do anything else since then. And and I think that Matt and Ben kind of both feel the same way and had the same experience with Jerry.
Well, you now have these two films, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford and Gone Baby Gone, you know, both starring roles for you, both have gotten great reviews. And I wonder, you may now have all kinds of new career options opening up for you. Do you know what you want to do next? Are there things that you haven't done that you want to?
There are so many people that I've always wanted to work with. And there, you know, I've watched in the past 20 years so many scripts kind of just pass me by that I thought were great and that I was excited and wanted to work on. And if nothing else happens, I hope that I just get an opportunity to work with one of those people. Or, you know, I have to say I've been also very lucky. I've worked with Gus, worked with Ben and Steven Soderbergh and Andrew Dominik. You know, I think that Andrew is probably one of the great, will be one of the great, is one of the great working directors of our time. I think that he's just extremely talented about movies, as a director. You know, I would like to find people like that to work with. If I could, I'd just work with Andrew, you know, and with Gus and with Ben and Steven. So I feel pretty lucky to have worked with the people I have. But I also kind of, you know, I'm hungry, I guess. I'm hungry for to kind of try different things and work with different people.
Well, I wish you the best with it. And thanks so much for spending some time with us, Casey Affleck.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Casey Affleck stars in two new films, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford and Gone Baby Gone. You can download a podcast of the show at freshair.npr.org.